know, there are a number of things and sayings that we have that are really not true. One is, ignorance is bliss. The more you know, the more you owe. What you don't know won't hurt you. Said in different ways, but basically it's the idea that ignorance is okay. That really it's the best thing for you, because if you know what you're supposed to do, then you're obligated to do it. But when we're talking about spirituality and Christianity, ignorance is not bliss. You're responsible to God, whether you know it or not, as your creator. And there are only two places we could go after death, heaven or hell. And we need to be sure we're headed to the right place, and that means we need to know what God says about getting there. And so ignorance is definitely not bliss. Hosea, if you don't remember the story of Hosea, Hosea was told to take a harlot at his wife. Her name was Gomer. He did so, and she went back into her harlotry. And Hosea had to buy her back out of her harlotry. And so this is given as an illustration of what Israel or Ephraim was doing to God in their going after idolatry. He said, basically, you're married to me, and yet you're going after other gods, the same way Gomer was doing to Hosea. And so it's interesting that God has his prophet go through something that illustrated what was happening with his people and God. And so Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So ignorance is not bliss. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children also. Ignorance is not bliss. It brought the downfall of Israel. What you don't know will definitely hurt you. Israel's problem is outlined in Hosea 4 and verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. So he said, that's your problem. You don't know about God. You don't know the truth about God. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing in your relationship with God. They were doing these things because they had no knowledge of God, choosing not to regain God in their knowledge, which is similar to what Romans 1, 28 through 32 says. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. It's dangerous for any nation to omit God. Psalm 33 and verse 12 said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his inheritance. Romans said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They wanted to forget about God. And that's a lot of what's happening in our nation today. People say, oh, I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear anything about whether what I'm doing is wrong or not. And that's the reason that typically people want to forget about God. They want to forget about the Bible because it condemns their actions. And that's exactly what was happening with Israel. It's exactly what was happening to the book of Romans, to the people there. So ignorance is definitely not bliss in relationship to Christianity. First of all, we want to consider that ignorance keeps us from having direction in life. There's a purpose for God's word to give us direction. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 10 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." So he says, God's word gives us direction, a direction that will bring us more happiness and joy than not following him. The opposite of following God is following Satan. Satan wants you to think things like, oh, well, ignorance is bliss. What you don't know won't hurt you. So don't worry about studying the Bible. Just go on and live your life the way you want to. Don't worry about what God says. Do your own thing. If you want it, get it. If it gives you pleasure, do it. And so all of that is ignorance of God's word. And it keeps us from having the direction in life that will bring us happiness. All we have to do is look around and see the sinfulness of this world and how miserable the people that are practicing that sin are. They're not happy. You know, you look at people who have all the money in the world. They're not happy. They've rejected God. All those famous people are not happy if they've rejected God. They're miserable in their lives. They're unhappy in the things that they're facing day by day. And that's the reason we see so much overdose of drugs and alcoholism and suicide and all sorts of things among people that we think has everything. The thing they don't have is God. And that's the most important thing in the world for them to have. More than gold or silver. One of the first things we do when we come home at night is we turn on the light so we can see where we're going, so we can see if there's anything in our way. And if we need help in life, turn on the light. Psalm 119 and 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We don't need to walk in darkness. We have the light of life. God's book is light. If we don't turn it on, we're in the dark and we're lost. This is a common thought in Scripture. In John 8:12, then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so this common theme of the light that is available for us to walk by. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet we're walking in darkness, we've got sin in our lives, then we're lying because we're not practicing the truth. And we're going to have to answer to him for it. Ignorance is not bliss. A person is either walking in light or fumbling in darkness. God intends for us to be the light to other people. Matthew 5, 14 through 15, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." And so God wants us to be the light of the world. The world is lost in sin and darkness. And we need to be a light that shows them the direction they need to go to get to God and ultimately to get to heaven. Because God's not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to be saved. That's the reason he sent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And it's up to us to accept that sacrifice in obedience to him. We can't be a light to the world if we're in darkness ourselves. Ephesians 5:8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You ever heard somebody say, I'm not going to go down there with all those hypocrites? They're talking about people that say they're light, but they're really darkness. They're walking in darkness themselves. And so people see that. And it's a reflection on the church. And it causes many people to be lost because they will not come to God because all they see are the hypocrites. And so they'll spend eternity in hell with those hypocrites rather than spending a little bit of time in the church with those hypocrites. And so ignorance keeps us from having direction in life. But some are not willing to step in the light. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Some people just want to stay in the dark. They're doing evil things, and they want to keep doing those evil things. And many times, they don't understand the joy that's available in Christianity. They think they're having fun, but they don't understand. It's much like when I was in Vietnam. I was talking to some guys about Christianity, and one of them said, oh, you know, I'm not really interested in that. And I said, well, they had asked me the question, you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't run around with women. What do you do for fun, Larry? And I said, well, you remember last night? You went out and you got drunk. You don't know whether you had fun or not because you don't remember it. I remember having to step over your puke to get to my room. So which one of us you think had the most fun? The fun I have, I remember. But you don't know if you had fun or not. And so people are walking in darkness, don't realize they're in the darkness. They think they've got a great life. But all you have to do is look at it and see the misery that's there, the unhappiness that's there. And so some just aren't willing to step into the light. If our deeds are evil, we tend to hang around in the shadows. You know, most crime is done at night. And nowadays people put covers over their face so they can't be recognized when they're doing evil things. Light exposes us for what we are and what we are doing. Why do these people not like and change truth into lie? Because it contradicted their lifestyle. Romans 1:28-32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, see, that's the point. They didn't want God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. See, they don't want God in their knowledge. They don't want to think about God. They don't have to think about God. And so nowadays, if you try to talk to someone about God in your workplace, you could be fired because people don't want to hear it. They complain about you trying to talk to them about Christianity or the Bible, and they go and complain about it. You could be fired for doing that. You know, it's getting to where it's a dangerous thing to go knocking on doors. Sometimes it's kind of like the guy that was out knocking on doors and trying to talk to people about Christianity, and he knocked on the door, and this a guy came to the door and he said, I'd like to talk to you about the Bible. He slammed the door in his face. So he went around the back door and he knocked. And the guy came to the door again. He said, I thought I'd try the back door. That guy that answered the front door was terribly ugly to me. Now, I suppose he probably slammed the door in the face again, so it didn't help. But the point is, some people don't want God in their knowledge. They don't want to be reminded that what they're doing is wrong, that God does not approve of their lifestyle. Do you know that now people are being arrested and ostracized for saying homosexuality is a sin because it offends so many people? And it can be called hate speech. And we're seeing more and more of that, and it's probably going to get worse. The time will come when probably many preachers are going to be thrown in jail for what is called hate speech, when all we're doing is saying what the Bible says. But because it's criticizing people, showing the evil that people are doing in their lives, and they don't want to hear it, then they're going to complain and they're going to have you arrested because it's hate speech. And so we just well get ready for it. So they've closed their eyes. They follow the blind, Matthew 15:13-14. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both are fallen to the ditch. So they're blind and they don't know it. And they got people following him. They don't know they're headed down the wrong road. And they're headed down that broad way that leads to destruction rather than the narrow road that leads to life. Satan blinds their eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. See, that says ignorance is not bliss. When they say they don't want to see it, they don't want to hear, ignorance is not bliss. They're going to be lost because they're rejecting the word of God. And that's a dangerous thing to do. The key to a better society is simply God's word. Psalm 19:7-8, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Great benefit in knowing God. And ignorance is not bliss. It's not going to help you just because you say, well, I didn't know that. You know, I tried that once. Got caught for speeding. And I honestly did not see the speed sign. And so I sort of told the policeman. You know what he did? He wrote me a ticket. Just because I didn't see it didn't mean it wasn't there. And so ignorance is no excuse when we break the law. And it's not going to be an excuse with God when we break his law. We have to recognize we are responsible for our actions. We are responsible to know the law. And that's true in this land, knowing the speed laws and all of that. It's true with God and knowing what he wants us to do in our lives. Some say we're blinded by the Bible, but they have no idea what enlightenment is. They don't realize they're in darkness. We're the ones that are walking in the light. We know where we're going, and we have faith and trust in that, and we have great joy because of that that they can't experience. Ignorance keeps us from having direction in life. Ignorance causes a lack of spiritual food. We have enough food. I don't like to miss a meal, but what if we didn't? What if we didn't have enough food? We are concerned with growth. If children don't grow, we get worried. I know a family that their child wasn't growing, so they gave him some growth hormones, and he started growing to a natural height then. And so parents sometimes do that to make their children taller. When someone gets sick, we encourage them when they regain their appetite. encourage them to eat because they need to eat for their strength. The Indian story, and you probably heard it, that in every person there are two dogs fighting, one good and one bad. And so which one's going to win, they asked. He said, well, whichever one you feed. So that's true of us. With us, there's a battle going on. And good and bad, and the one that's going to win is the one we feed. Israel was feeding the bad dog and eventually was punished because of their lack of knowledge. In Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, we're told, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we have to recognize good and evil and feed the good and starve out the evil. When we grow spiritually, we can better discern between right and wrong. Staying a physical baby is dangerous. Young children don't realize the dangers that they face. That's the reason they have parents, to direct them and warn them of what they don't need to be doing. Older Christians ought to have this knowledge to teach the babes in Christ. And so ignorance causes the lack of spiritual food. So we need to ask ourselves, what makes up our spiritual diet? It's easy to get junk food, but our bodies don't need that. We need a good diet. Same thing is true spiritually. Our diets could consist of the Word of God, to be aware of the knowledge of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And Acts 20 and 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So we need to desire the word of God, because that's what's going to lead us to heaven, when we know and practice the truth. And then ignorance causes us to miss salvation. It is the gospel that saves us. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The gospel of our salvation. It is the gospel that saves us. Ignorance will not save us. James 1:21 says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Ignorance won't do that, but knowledge of the will of God and practicing the will of God will. So how then does this happen? James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So we can't just hear the word. We've got to do what it says. Obedience is necessary. John 8, 31 through 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And John 17, 16 through 19, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them in the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth, set apart and made holy by the truth. Ignorance will not do that for you. Knowledge of the truth and practicing that truth will. So do you think ignorance is bliss? Hosea loved his wife, though she had committed adultery. In fact, he bought her out of slavery and bought her back. So too, God loves us. He bought us out of the bondage of sin with the blood of his son. He paid the price with the blood of his son. 1 John 5:11 through 13. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. To believe, ignorance won't do that for you. You have to believe and practice the truth. Don't allow ignorance to keep you out of heaven. It'd be a terrible thing to be lost because of that. Ignorance is not bliss. If we can help you this morning to get more truth into your life and to get forgiveness of the ignorance perhaps that you've had in the past. Maybe you haven't been made aware of what you need to do to become a child of God through repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as your Lord and Master and as the Son of God, and then being baptized into Christ to wash away all of your past sins, and then to start living your life for him, an obedient child of God, on your way to heaven. We'd love to help you with that today. We can. And if you, as a child of God, have sin in your life and you've been ignorant of some things that you just kind of thought, well, oh, it really doesn't matter whether I know that or not, or whether I practice that or not, you don't realize you're lost. You're in darkness until you repent of that and confess that. So if there's any way that we can help you in your relationship with God today, to walk in truth as he wants you to, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.